13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Good evening, friend. I have something very special to show you. And the full impact of this particular place can only be felt on a cloudless night such as this. No need to change. Your nightwear is quite fitting for our destination. Come now. The heavens await. Once again, we must ride in our trusty elevator. This time, to the very top. Oh, watch your step. Tonight, we are going to see one of the architect's greatest achievements. You see, the design of this grand structure did not spring into his head unbidden. He ached to build his magnum opus. But sadly, he was without inspiration. Until a late-night journey to Ladd Observatory, where he and a writer of some distinction together saw something in the stars. A pattern. A celestial plan that only he could comprehend. You see, the stars spoke to our architect, and he responded with this place. Again, your step. Brace yourself for the universe. This is the Great Observatory, an exact replica of the facility where the architect had his epiphany, with minor adjustments here and there. This was the earliest part of Hawthorne Manor to be built, and the plans for the rest did not solidify until he further deciphered the heavens' secrets. Please, gaze into the telescope. How clear the stars are from here, yes? Directly above us, do you see? The constellations of Malacoda, Alicino, and Barbariccia, whose shapes the architect used in plotting the house's course. A house built to stretch the confines of space and time.
Hello? Who goes there?
Ah, why am I not surprised to find you up here on such a night? Be a dear and listen closely. We grow ever closer to our goal. The door. Remember? You remember.
You two carry on. I shall fetch the astrolabe.
The magic of science is that it creates order from apparent chaos. This telescope captures photons, particles of light that have traveled billions of miles over billions of years, and transcribes them into a picture on a piece of glass you could hold in your hand. Your cell phone receives data encoded in radio waves and translates it into voices, images, a symphony. Order from apparent chaos, where chaos really just means enough data points that we can't make sense of it. And some of science's most effective magic is more biological than you'd care to think. Maybe you've heard that your body is filled with microscopic organisms, that they outnumber your own cells. It's true. Most of them live in your guts. There are 9.8 million microbes common to the human microbiome, identified, sequenced, modified. Their combined genetic sequence is 30 times as long as the genomes of the humans who contain them. And with these microbes, science has programmed solutions to an astonishing number of human problems. Maybe you didn't know. The bugs in your gut train your immune system, touch your central nerves. The actions and byproducts of the creatures living inside you can control digestion, diabetes, heart disease, your body shape, your mental health, and on and on. You can solve any of these things by taking one pill or another. I take these for acne, to others for anxiety. But my parents were always uncomfortable talking about the anxiety part. One night, I was dog-sitting for them. another fundraiser gala, another chance for them to impress the sort of voters who only donate to the poor when they get an exclusive dinner out of it. I'd begged off. LSAT prep called, I told them. Though that night I really meant that the couch called in a literal eternity of streaming video potential. Besides, their dog, little Johnny, would poop in the closet if you left him alone for more than 3 consecutive hours. My intense hope for no one at the gala to let slip to my parents that I'd just accepted an internship with the Public Defense Office was basically ruining everything I tried to watch. The first vaguely suspicious thing I remember was a deep rumbling in my gut. Like a video game controller when your character takes a hit, and another, a whole combo. But I figured it was errant gala anxiety, or that the leftover Thai curry I'd been finishing was a couple days too old. Either way, I was actively ignoring it when Johnny perked up, jumped off his couch, and click-clacked off down the hardwood hall toward the center of the house. And that was suspicious. Prime closet territory, so I followed. I found him sniffing at the crack to the lower-level door. He barked at it, once, as if experimenting with the sound. Then he shifted to a growl. My stomach shifted too. The rumble back, but sharp this time, the cramps snaking between my hips. That's when the smell hit me. Above the normal cellar must and sea salt twinge of that house, something sweet and thick that I couldn't define. And the sound, a rushing. So low, I thought it was my heartbeat in my ears until I realized it was the pipes. It was the house's blood, not mine, roiling through those pipes like the whole place was a shell I'd held up to my ear. And my guts. I'd heard of colonies acting odd, getting gassy before, but this hurt. I felt my skin crawling. And when I looked down, there was a shape. Shapes. Pushing my shirt outward and pulling, puckering down, it felt like to the bone. Snatching the fabric away, I watched the flesh of my belly forming a moving image. Ripples. Like smoke. A cold flush exploded from the base of my spine up to my brain, more hopeless than I'd ever felt before the pills and without knowing that I'd started running. Have you ever lost time while you were driving, your hands on the wheel and eyes on the road? Then you realize half an hour has passed and you don't remember any of it. Somehow, the meat of you functioned to drive the car while you were somewhere else. That's what it felt like. When I came back to myself, I was standing on the front lawn of my parents' house, the grass cold under my feet and Johnny's fur soft as he squirmed against my arms. There was a streetlight at the end of the driveway, pulsing, brighter than dimmer than brighter. Perfectly in time with my still twisting insides. And at my back, the blistering heat of my parents' house, burning. Maybe I did hear something, a woof of ignition, that draw of breath a fire takes when it's catching hold. But all I remember is the sound, my guts turning over. It felt more like instinct. But I don't think it was mine. Guess it depends on how much you consider what lives inside of me to be me. Have you heard of that thought experiment? Theseus's paradox. You know, is a ship still the same ship if you've replaced every part of it? What if our initial blueprint isn't really us? How much needs to be added before we become ourselves? Does part of the mind, or whatever you want to call it, live in the gaps of that blueprint? They never did find an arsonist. The accelerant, it wasn't man-made. It was more like a biofuel. It was in the pipes. You know, they use microbes to make that stuff, too. Maybe it was all an accident, meaningless chaos. But what if I was responsible? What if they were responsible? This symbiotic colony of creatures inside me that are me, were they responding to something? Were they protecting me? Or were they angry at me? I don't know. I'm afraid of what might happen if I keep feeding them these, but not as afraid of what might happen if I don't. Something's wrong. I have to.
I apologize for stepping away.
Oh, you look exhausted. Perhaps you should leave the stars to us for the evening and get some sleep. This is an astrolabe. Oh, I know it seems a little outdated to use such a thing, but there is something about it. The architect used this very tool to chart and measure the stars. That lends our little exploration a sort of symmetry, wouldn't you say? Tonight I will read the stars, and on the night of the Ascension, we too will know where the door is located. So many secrets hiding out there in the chasms between gods. You should rest, my friend. Great things are in store for us. Tomorrow we will meet in the architect's personal chambers. If there are answers, we will undoubtedly find them there. For now, adieu.
13 Days of Halloween was created by Matt Frederick and Alex Williams and executive produced by Aaron Mankey, starring Keegan-Michael Key as the caretaker. Today's story was written and performed by Lauren Vogelbaum and directed by Matt Frederick. Additional writing and script supervision from Nicholas Tikoski, with editing and sound design by Josh Thane. Only 2 days remain. Tomorrow, another story.
Children worship danger and love mystery most of all. We were 11 years old that Halloween, so we decided we would visit the witch house for ourselves. Remember, we, like you, knew stories. We, like you, were brave. And no matter where we went, every street led us, like you, to this place and the things beneath it.
13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And learn more about 13 Days of Halloween at grimandmild.com.